Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell and Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio.
Hi, everybody. Today we're going to talk about, in our overarching subject matter, experience, the benefits of experience and the experience of going through the process. We're going to talk about managing expectations. So we wanted to talk about this because we've been doing this a while, and we have learned from the process that on every project, even when everything in the end is beautiful and comes out great and everyone's happy, there are always little bumps in the road, things that go on that need management. That's why you want someone with a lot of experience in your court. And we have found, and studies show, that clients that go through a bump in the road and things get managed well and the responsiveness to the bump in the road is good have very strong positive reflections on that experience. And they value us even more and the team even more and the experience even more. So, you know, I was telling Diane, and I'll share this now if it's okay, that I had read an article about people's experience with airlines, right? So all of us know that when we travel, then something's going to go wrong, whether it's wrong. Hopefully it's not a major crisis, but something's going to go wrong along the way. Somebody's sitting in your seat, or we won't even get into the mask discussion, but whatever it is, there's going to be something along the way that goes wrong. And so studies show that it's the responsiveness of the airline to the thing going wrong that builds loyalty, not everything going smoothly all the way through.
Oh, so you have 100 flights, perfect, nothing goes wrong.
Right.
But yet you have that one flight with that one airline. They've lost your bags. You've been delayed. How are they handling that?
Exactly. So, you know, there's an airline that the name of it starts with a D. And maybe you fly that Delta airline all the time, or American all the time, or Southwest all the time, and it goes smoothly every time, and you're just a loyal customer, and then you need to fly to New York, and you couldn't find a direct flight, and so you flew JetBlue. And so you get on that JetBlue flight. This one happened to me. I was flying from New York to Texas during this crazy, some of you probably remember it, it was written about, this crazy snowstorm that happened in New York, and we all got grounded in the unfinished, freezing cold, miserable terminal that wasn't fully built for JetBlue yet, when JetBlue was a baby company. And I had an infant and couldn't leave the airport because, even though my flight couldn't take off because of the storm, because the baby seat was on the plane. And I was not taking my infant out of the airport in a snowstorm, toss him in the back of a cab, and trying to make my way home in a snowstorm. Total crisis. That had never happened to me on any other airline. It was a very, very bad experience. I think after something like 16 hours in the airport, we finally went to the desk and just sort of begged, we need someone to go and get a car seat for us. We need a car seat. They went above and beyond to get that car seat for us. You know, and I'm gnashing of teeth, weeping, pulling my hair out, but they managed it. And I saw what they had to go through to get that to work for just me when there were hundreds of people all around me clamoring. And I can tell you right now that I have a JetBlue credit card. They have a warm place in my heart. They managed it. They did something catastrophically wrong. They got blamed for a lot of things that happened that day, but they helped me in my experience. And so now I am a loyal JetBlue customer. I will fly them wherever I possibly can. Isn't that funny how?
I think that's totally true and accurate. I bet. Yeah. If you didn't, which I'm sure this did a whole bunch of studies and found that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it happens, you know, not just with airlines, but stores, right?
Mm-hmm.
That will take back merchandise if it ended up being faulty or whatever. But then mm-hmm. there's some stores that don't. And yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And I actually just had an experience last week with a client where a batch of tile came in completely wrong. from a company that has all sorts of paper, of a paper trail and small print about how they take no returns at all. There is no such thing as a return. They will not take anything back. It's all handmade materials. And, you know, I called them and asked, and they're taking all back and rerunning the entire batch and not charging the client at all. And do you know what that made me do? Turn around and specify tile from their company for three more clients. And all of a sudden, they are someone who was on my periphery that I hadn't really been using very often. And now they're going to come to the forefront. So overall, just kind of that experience that clients go through where there's a bump in the road and then it gets managed well, builds so much confidence.
Definitely.
Maybe we should talk about that client that we had, not by name, but who called us today in the car. Like, there were some problems on that project.
Right. Yeah, that we had done a couple of years ago and kind of was finishing up during the pandemic when it all started.
And two builders.
Yeah, it was – unfortunately, we had a bunch of builder transitions that didn't go as smoothly and all that kind of horrible stuff. But they love their house. We've helped manage it. They were still – well, Amity is now helping manage some of these finished punch list items and taking care of things for them and – calling in favors and making sure it's all going to be taken care of, because it's just what we do and we want to make sure people are happy.
Yeah,
I mean, my end goal is always that they're happy in their space. So you don't want to be in a space where your cabinet, your new cabinet, is constantly tilted at an angle or something because the person just never came and finished it and it just drives you insane.
Yeah. And every other thing can have gone smoothly. I mean, it can work in the other direction too. Like, if you don't manage it well, what happens is you will have done everything right. Say you have done everything right. And then one piece of furniture gets broken when it's being moved in. I mean, we're talking about a new build that maybe went on for 4 or 5 years, which happens. And then, and they love you and they're singing your praises. And then a piece of furniture comes in the door and scrapes the door, or the leg breaks off. And if we walked away and said, well, it's your problem now, it's in your house, every single time they see the scratch in the doorway or they see that piece of furniture, it can just be like a large flushing sound of good emotion going away.
Yeah, right.
And so really stepping up when those things happen and knowing when to step up. I think part of that is the value of experience, of knowing when things are going wrong. So, I mean, there's a pandemic that we've all been living through and some things have gone, in quotes, wrong along the way that were completely out of everyone's control. So when there are things you can't manage, you let those things go, but then something comes up that you can do something about. If you step up and take care of that, other things kind of fall by the wayside. So we want clients to feel taken care of.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I always have their back, right? Definitely. You know, I think we talk about the psychological aspects that you have to go through during construction. It can be very stressful and frustrating, and especially lately with the building and how hard it is to get materials and the delays that are just completely out of our control, and trying to not get so mad that you are still living with your in-laws maybe, or you're having to rent, you know, more, you're having to spend more on rent staying in the place you're at until your house gets finished. So it's been really tough on people. And so we've just had to really stick with them and make sure that we're helping as much as we can. And I would say all the builders I've been working with have been doing a great job handling it as well and trying to come up with creative solutions to work around until we get, you know, the tile or we get the windows.
Yeah, how to keep a project running when you have to wait for things. Can you shift your attention to another area? Maybe you haven't gotten the stuff for the inside so you can focus on the outside. Or I think I find
I think that builds client loyalty and makes them feel so much better that they know we are taking care of them.
And I think reminding them that they're not alone, that we're all in this together and that other projects are having the same issues. I am very touched by how people, vendors, I know it's, you know, somewhat self-serving, but they're bending over backwards to find different channels for materials, buying extra materials and storing them so they don't have to play the market with lumber or whatever that is. Or I know furniture showrooms that are ordering additional furniture that they can sell off the floor that they never would have wanted to hold that kind of material not knowing if they could sell it, but they're taking that risk to try to keep people happy. All of us in this industry, you know, and all outs, really do want the client experience to be smooth. It behooves us all for that to go well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's something to keep in mind, you know, and sometimes when clients say, you know, they start getting a little bit lost in that poor me thing or like, I'm so frustrated. I think it just takes a little bit of reminder that we're kind of all in this together and it turns it around.
Yeah. Even in the design process, sometimes, you know, there's some people that just take forever to get through the design process, meaning the architect maybe or the interior designer. And I'm one that always keeps trying to keep that ball rolling and checking in and then also mm-hmm. trying to give my clients an update on status of timing and why things aren't happening as fast as maybe we thought, or they are happening just as we thought. Or, you know, a lot of times, sometimes submitting for permit, we can end up with a lot of bumps in the road. They come back with comments we never expected and trying to address all of those. And a lot of times we don't really need to bring you into all the messiness of what we're having to deal with. We just basically want to tell you we're working on it. We're fixing it. It's going to get fixed. And here's the solution we're trying now. And then, okay, we got the solution. We're
ready to go. That's a good point. Yeah. We definitely have that approach where, okay, if there's something that comes up that could be an issue, instead of going to the client and saying this, we can't get this flooring material, or we're going to have to wait for this tile longer, we try first in-house without, you know, bringing the client into the problem. We come up as a team with a solution. Maybe it's another tile selection or maybe a slight design change to the house that avoids some sort of an issue with a lot. Or, you know, maybe it is this idea that we decide that we're going to store some things for them or buy the tile in advance or switch the tile. And then whatever it is, we come back to the clients with, this came up. It's always honest and direct. This came up and these are the options. We can wait for this tile that's coming in, you know, August when it's February now, or these are your reselects. And that takes them some time maybe to process that, or there's a little bit of a change with the house design and it takes them some time to process that. But if you've come to the table with solutions that you feel good about, they can't just be feel too much like a compromise.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like
we're not just putting tape on it, duct tape on it.
Yeah,
we're
going
to make sure it's
it needs to be
a good solution.
Yeah, a thoughtful, achievable, and you've considered all the aspects of budget, time frame, their desired future state, which we've talked about. You know, having thought that all through, they're going to appreciate that, and they do appreciate that, and then that builds that relationship and highlights the good parts of the experience in a time where there's a lot of things happening that we just can't control.
Yeah. And so also I think the responsiveness that we have and responding quickly to problems that might come up also to prevent any further time lag also helps.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think being somewhat attuned to the emotions of the client are important. We have a client now who's nervous because their rental is coming up due and their project, they're not going to have anywhere to live and their project's taking a little longer. And we can't control the fabricator and the line in front of us for the countertop fabrication. And so helping problem solve for them, deciding how we might move them in early and still be able to continue the work, et cetera, keeping a level head. I told my team yesterday, all hands on deck for this particular client. Everyone put other things on hold to get this milestone completed, cabinet hardware selection, which sounds minor, but you can't open your kitchen cabinets or move in if you don't have pulls on them. Sounds minor, but it's not. Let's get that decided and ordered so that the client, when they do move back in, are comfortable. And then when they see that you're doing that, you know, I think Diane and I both have an approach of being very much leaders on teams. So sometimes she and I are both trying to lead at the same time. We're both leaders and kind of bring people with us along the way. So Diane mentioned keeping that ball rolling. That, I think, is a very big part of it, being preemptive about it and making sure that we're solving problems that we haven't even – that is experience when you say it's
mm-hmm,
having been there. Having been there. Hasn't always been that way.
Yeah, and something else I want to talk about is during construction, kind of at the end of construction, whether it's during the, you know, pandemic or the crazy building situation we have now, but there's a lot of times there's money stuff we got to deal with that is change orders or something that's come about, and it's sometimes more the contractor and the owner working out. Then there's the punch list that we do. And so what we do is we go around kind of maybe the week before you're about to move in and walk with you as well as the builder and punch the house, which means we just thoroughly walk through and make sure every faucet turns on, every pole is connected properly, cabinets are all adjusted. We check everything on the outside of the house. We make sure, you know, things are caulked, and we just go around with an eagle eye. And hopefully it's just like maybe two or three pages. I will say a lot of times all the builders I work with try to get as much done as they can before we come in. They just want to make sure that they get stuff done. But again, they're not always looking at the same things we look at. And so sometimes we do catch some things and they said, oh my gosh, I never noticed that. And then they'll get it fixed. And it's usually in your contract about all this stuff to get it done. And then you move into the warranty period once you guys move in. Everything hopefully is running smoothly. You don't have to call in on a warranty call.
Yeah. And it's a matter of, you know, later in the game when clients have learned sort of the process and they're antsy to get moved in or moved back in or just for the project to be finished, they'll sometimes forget what was added to a project.
Yes.
So that's not a punch list item. That's the back patio having been added and not being finished yet. It's not a punch list item. That's a new work item. Maybe that needs to be put off. And so there's managing that sort of, okay, the expectation here is that the things in the initial contract that are supposed to be finished when you move in, that's what we're punching. That's what we're looking at. The things you've added since then may have more than punch list ahead of them. So I find myself reminding clients, like, don't get upset about something not being finished that was not intended to be finished.
Yeah,
at
it wasn't
the time.
In the original scope.
So it's not anybody dropping the ball. And, you know, we advocate for our builders and make sure that we're protecting their workflow as well and respecting that, you know, they have certain subs coming in at certain times to do the work. And so just kind of reminding the client, it also makes them realize, okay, everybody does have my back. And, you know, it is not an oversight on their part necessarily. It's just they have a large amount of things to manage. And like Diane said, we're looking at it with different eyes. So we're seeing cracks and maybe some spacing issues or maybe it is adding, okay, well, now we see how this area is not connecting with this area. Maybe we do. I was with a client yesterday who has decided after living in her house and doing some construction that one of the rooms is not big enough, not from our design. It's, you know, it was a spec house that we upgraded and added an entire room that's going to need new supports in the ceiling. So we'll have to go backwards before we can go forward. But instead of throwing our hands in the air and saying, okay, no, that can't be done, we're going to have to tear out some of the work we already did, it's a matter of sitting with the client and listening to what it is they're trying to solve for and then say, okay, maybe there's a different solution. Maybe there, instead of doing this, there's another room you can use or a furniture plan change or a built-in change. But if that's not the case, and this came up yesterday, absolutely made total sense to do the larger work. And I turned to the builder and said, I know you thought you were almost finished, but we're doing a whole other wing. And it's going to be drawings and the whole thing. But it's just kind of advocating for the client. And that's okay. As people learn as they're living and being in spaces what they want to add. We try to avoid that if we can, but it sometimes happens. So, yeah, I think, you know, reminding clients, this another set of clients that are about to move in, what is a punch list item? What do they need to be worried about? And what do they not need to focus on? Because that builder, at least the builders that Diane and I work with, are not going anywhere.
Yeah, usually not.
They're usually not. We have them. They are, like Diane says, warrantying the space. They'll come back and fix things. They'll come back and check things.
Yeah, definitely. And then also, talking about how to manage expectations, I would also say, also talking about the beginning when we first interview, a lot of times I like to ask, what's your budget, after talking about the scope of work you want to do and seeing if we think that aligns or not. And sometimes, yeah, that sounds like a good budget. Or sometimes I'll say, well, No, I think you need double that. I mean, I hate having to tell people that, but I would rather set the expectation now than tell you, sure, we can make that happen. And then it comes in, it's twice as much. It's just not fair. Not
yeah, it's
nice.
Interesting that you say that, because that too has had a really good effect when you're honest with someone up front and explain to them what the cost of things are. They're very appreciative, and mm-hmm. then they can go back and reassess. Maybe just have conversations with their partner about, well, maybe we do need to invest in this, or maybe we need to change direction, or, you know, whatever decision they make, the value of the experience that you have has been passed on to them by explaining to them what the true nature of their project is and what they need to anticipate. Because in the end, the decision's on them. They can plan for it, or they can switch directions.
Right.
And mm-hmm. hopefully that's, you know, they may not end up working with you, but they may have a warm fuzzy in their heart when they think of you, because mm-hmm. you have been honest with them and direct, and maybe given the name of someone else who's a different type of builder, a different type of architect, or a different type of interior designer who might be a better fit for them. And, you know, we approach everything with the client's best interest at heart, even if it means you're not our client, you know, or we're not going to. I've recently, with the workload that we have, been telling clients, not no, but not now. And that might mean they go away, but I say to them, it's because I cannot give you the attention that you deserve at this point with the workload that I have. And I think in the end, people appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I would. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to overload yourself and then you don't give as good a quality product.
Yeah, you can't service
them. Even though I might still beg you to do a project.
Well, I will say one thing. Things are moving slower than they have in the past, potentially right now with COVID, et cetera. So sometimes people think they want to move quickly, and then in the time frame that I've given them that I'll be available, they come back. They say,
right.
Oh, I actually can. You do have time now, right? Mm-hmm. And I say yes. And if mm-hmm. my plans change or my workload changes, then yeah, we always like to we also love working with clients who have already been through that Delta Airlines experience where, you know, they know that you have their back.
I guess it should be called the JetBlue Airlines experience.
Okay, we should call it the JetBlue
right?
Airlines experience, right, where they know they've been through a project or two with you. They know that you're going to have their back. And so in many ways, we want to prioritize getting their projects done because of that relationship experience. And sometimes that, and it can move quicker and go smoother, but also always having new projects that are coming up and kind of just managing that.
And then we also have a responsiveness, like during construction, especially in working in older houses, where I say we always have secrets come out of the walls during demolition. And so sometimes the builder may call me and say, "Ugh, we ran into this. How soon can you come over and look at it?" And I will definitely try to come over within a day or two. And I also want to say that about my structural engineers, they're also the ones I continually work with, are also really great at that. So we're not slowing down your project. So it's not like, oh, they can't get there for another week, and then it just sits there. And that's just not very good for the project overall.
Yeah. And I mean, I think some of that is kind of what I was trying to say earlier, maybe not well, but the experience that we have gives us clues to what does need immediate response and what can wait. So knowing that it's not important that we decide the width of the planks for the floor for a project when we're still in the framing phase mm-hmm. is important, or knowing that we don't have to know the exact sconce that's going on a wall, but we need a close location, and we know the general style that it will be, so we can get the wires pulled without. So which things are an emergency and which things can wait and which things are going to grow into larger problems if they're not addressed right away. And I think just knowing that from experience is really helpful for people, making sure that, as we've said before, that all of us on the team, including the builder, are unflappable. We're not going to flip out and get angry and it become an ego thing, you know, There's a lot of, you know, stop and think before you speak, contemplate what is the right answer, and asking for time when you need time to figure out the answers, which we try to do before we come back to the table. We don't have to know everything because we know a lot, but we don't know everything. And so sometimes I like to say that I may not know the answer, but I'm going to know who to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you don't have the experience or the expertise, knowing that in advance is a huge value, and say, okay, I'm going to find that out for you.
Yeah. Or if you know who you can ask, you can say, mm-hmm. All right, I don't have that answer right now, but I know who to ask.
And I'll get back to you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I think that really about tells our story, our JetBlue Delta Airlines experience story, managing expectations. Thank you for listening, and we'll speak to you next time.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio.